I admit that I've had a little trouble this week thinking about what I would say to you about faith. The commentaries have a lot to say about faith. There's creeds that say a lot about faith, but we're not a creedal church. And I find that the commentaries are often formulaic, and either pablum or hellfire and brimstone or something that doesn't help me find my way. There's a theory that theology that fascinated me when I was in seminary, and it was an understanding of the already and the not yet. That is, holding the tension between God's in-breaking presence here and now on earth and our participating in that in-breaking and building the kingdom of God, and the not yet, the waiting for a diagnosis, the waiting to sell a house, the waiting for a job, the waiting for someone who's suffering to stop suffering, the waiting for the love you've always wanted, waiting for that endowment to come to the church that'll let us do all the things we dream of doing, the not yet, the waiting for the violence to end, the waiting for the bullying to stop, the waiting for peace to break out. The already, when we can look around at our blessings, we can wake up in the morning and maybe with a little work, we can get up and be excited about the day. And if we're alert and alive to God made manifest in and through and around us, we see God's inbreaking. We develop a habit of not only seeing it, but participating in it. And still the background noise of the world and of our lives. I know you, and I know some of the things that you're facing. I know that you're in between that already and not yet. And sometimes that in-between can be a lifetime. So what do we do? The letter to the Hebrews, which is, some people say it's written by Paul, but generally agreed it's the author is unknown, is a letter to Jews, Messianic Jews, who have been devastated with the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple, but they've also been discriminated against. There's been great conflict between the Messianic Jews and the new Christians who were not Jewish. And so this letter is written to them about faith, faith of your ancestors. And the letter to the Hebrews gives this long list in chapter 11 of what our ancestors in faith have done or have done by faith. And I think as I listen to it, does that mean that they got what they got because either they had faith or they didn't have faith? Or they had faith, but they didn't have enough faith? Because that's always a question I hear hanging over your heads and over mine. The world dangles that carrot sometime. If you only had faith, this wouldn't be happening to you. So I want to take some time and unpack that. But first, I want to think about a little bit more about that already and not yet, that living into the tension between God and the here and now and the kingdom of God in its fullest expression. One of the commentaries that I read compared what Hebrews calls faith, the faith that gives substance to things hoped for with a conviction of things not seen, compared that to living between D-Day, when the Allied troops invaded Europe and began to push the German army back to Germany, and V-Day, that time when they actually claimed victory. Or you might think of that time between the already and not yet as a time between crucifixion and resurrection. We know that our life and the stories of the Bible go from crucifixion, resurrection, life to death, to life to death, to life to death. And sometimes it seems that it takes a lifetime to get from death to life to death. Or it might be what Walter Brueggemann calls orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. He says that in Hebrew scriptures, or what's called the Old Testament, there is this cycle always of orientation, disorientation, that is turning away from God, losing the things that we have considered blessings from God, and then reorientation, turning back where the water's still, where things get better, and then it goes back to disorientation and reorientation, orientation, disorientation, reorientation on an individual and a collective level. That's what life is all about. It's getting through it, isn't it? And so we have this letter to the Hebrews, and it begins, a piece that we didn't hear today, the beginning of chapter 11, starts at the beginning. It says, in faith, Noah, warned about things not yet seen, revered God and built an ark in order to save the world. He didn't know how he was going to get there, but the story, our faith story, is that he built the ark anyway. Whether you believe that or not, it's a fantastic story, a testimony to faith. By faith, Sarah and Abraham obeyed when they were called and went off to the place where they were to receive as a heritage. They went forth without knowing where they were going. By faith, Sarah and Abraham lived in the promised land as resident aliens, dwelling in tents with their children and grandchildren for many years. For they were looking forward to the city with foundations whose designer and maker was God. They lived by faith. By faith, Sarah and Abraham lived through her pregnancy at an old age, and they're having a child at an old age. We know that that takes faith. Hebrews says, all of them died in faith. They didn't obtain what had been promised, but saw and welcomed it from afar. And that's a trick, isn't it? I mean, you work on it so hard, you really want to see the fruits of your labor. But the letter of the Hebrews tells us, and the reading that was just before today's reading, that that doesn't always happen while we're alive. This morning's reading continues remembering the faith of our ancestors in response to living through the passage between the already and the not yet. The writer starts with the wilderness generation, the people of the Exodus. How under the leadership of Moses and Miriam and Aaron had a 40-day journey from slavery to freedom, and how they murmured and complained and turned their backs on God and built idols, and God would get angry with them, and then God would come around, then they would come around over and over and over again. But they, those who started that journey, never saw the end of the journey. Only their children, who had never known slavery in the first place, got to the promised land, got to live in that. And then today's reading has the example of Rahab, a prostitute. I was telling the children in the service this last Wednesday at the refugee center where I go that a prostitute is in the Bible, Rahab. And these children who come from Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras and Mexico, well, some of them have been prostitutes. They've had to be. Or they've been harmed, sexual violence against them. Or they have been considered to be dirt by others because they were impoverished. And so for them to see a person named who was a prostitute, who Matthew says is actually an ancestor of Jesus, is a very, very big deal, that all of these people have faith. And then there's everyone else, the letter of the Hebrews says. He lumps together all of those who suffered and were persecuted for their faith, but who stayed the course despite the consequences. So I have sat with many of you and have heard you say, and I've certainly felt myself, what is it really to have faith? I mean, does it mean you wake up every morning and you say, I know that God is going to fix this and get me that car, that job, or whatever? Right? I want you to talk to each other for a moment about that. I want you to break up in twos or threes, no more than that, so you have a chance to talk. I know it's kind of scary to talk to each other, but we always end up having such a rich reflection afterwards. What does faith look like to you? And who taught you that, or what taught you that? And in the first service, I went around and listened to people, and I heard a lot of people saying, you know, I've lived a long time, I've lost a lot of people who were good people, who did everything right, and I still lost them, and I've just lost five the last year, and I'm getting old, and I don't think I'm going to make it in faith. And so there's that piece too. Everyone is welcome here with whatever you have. So talk to each other about your faith and how you got it or didn't get it. And if you're one of those extroverts that don't mind getting up and moving around, go and sit next to somebody that you don't know very well. Even if you're sitting next to a spouse and you want to get up and sit with somebody that you don't know very well, you can do that. So I'm going to give you a few minutes, about 5 minutes. So just chat with each other a little bit about what does that mean to live by faith? Raise your hand and I'll come around. Or what did you hear that mattered?
We talked about how it isn't always easy to have faith because we had like always depression and it's hard to believe when you go on, but when you have a hard time going on. But that's kind of what it's about, because faith isn't just believing something you can't understand. It's sticking to what you believe even when it's difficult. Mm-hmm. So the difficulties are the part of the faith. And if everything was just hunky-dory and God stopped by for brunch every morning with me and whatnot, I wouldn't need faith. It would just be there. So faith is what gets us through the difficulties, even though it's hard.
Mm. Thank you. Anybody in this section?
We talked about growing up in the church and kind of the ripple effects that had years later.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes good and sometimes not good, depending on what church you grew up in, right? Yep. Anybody else in this section? Want to say something about what you heard or what you thought?
I think the thing that we talked about most was similar to what Michael was saying. When you grow up in a church with a family that is very loyal to the church and then become challenged by it,
right,
as you become young adults. That was one of the things. And the other thing that was mentioned was that we perhaps experience our faith best when we are challenged. The challenge to us to maintain it comes when we're faced with an opposition or whatever.
So. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I was just saying to someone, I was saying to Cheryl that sometimes when we're challenged, we don't feel the faith, or we just don't have it in us to have the faith, and it's because of other people lifting us up in prayer and bringing us meals, and that's faith and community. Any women on this side want to say something?
Well, we talked about the fact that we both felt very blessed in that we've grown up through faith-supported life, and how important that piece is when the going gets rough, and how much we value being able to turn towards that at times in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Be brave. Do you want to say something about it?
What I talked about was just that faith is a choice, and it's also a belief that doing the right thing day after day, it's not necessarily faith that I'm going to have some reward, but just that surrounding yourself with people of similar values in a community and family, that it having faith that you're always going to have people around you by creating that community.
I was trying to remember a George Carlin joke about we'll believe in a God, but we'll have to touch it if it says wet paint. And I think words get used so interchangeably. Belief and faith get interchanged a lot. Grace gets thrown in there too. And I think for me, it's, I was remembering my wedding song of Nancy. Only wedding song I've ever had. Our wedding song was Have a Little Faith, and we both liked that a lot. But I think we all, whether we demonstrate it with that word, live in faith, otherwise we wouldn't get married, we wouldn't have kids. Like, the world is hard. So I think any action that shows that you believe in the enduring good, that to me is faith, and I think people live that out constantly.
Mm. Anybody else on this side? Don't you want to say what faith as a mother of three small children is like? All right. You can report in later. All right. Well, this is a strange image that I chose this time, but I just couldn't let it go. But what it is community. It looks like a bunch of bees or something, but they're actually people who are doing things. Faith is an action. Belief is in our head. Faith is in our bodies. And it's in community. So it's this all colors and shapes and sizes, and all everybody has wings, or most people have wings. And so that understanding, as the book, the letter to the Hebrews, is for community. It's not just an individual thing. It's we get by better. We live longer. We have healthier lives, studies show, when we have a community of faith. And I think particularly a community of faith that is love-based rather than hate and fear-based. I just want to end with this prayer, repeat again this reading from the end of the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside everything. Think about this. Let us lay aside everything that impedes us and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race laid out for us. Let us not lose sight of Jesus, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection. For the sake of the joy to come, Jesus endured the cross, heedless of his shame, and now sits at the right hand of God's throne. Think of Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And then this prayer on the anniversary of Archbishop Romero's assassination by Bishop Ken Untener of Saginaw. He says, it helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we're about. We plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it's a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end result, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen.